It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Home Run Dugout in Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
What was that you said, Tyler?
He said, welcome into Football Friday, baby.
The drive is live.
As we are live here in Katy at Home Run Dugout. It is Football Friday here. Again, Home Run Dugout presented by Pepsi. Come on out. Hang out with us 2 to 6. We got people in here. There's good beer, good food, great food. Great spot here, I'm telling you, man. And it's going to pick up, I'm sure, on a Friday evening as you're getting off work. Come on down. And also, you know, we don't come empty-handed. We are going to start hooking people up with prizes in
this very hour.
Someone will walk away with a $25 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors, and somebody will also walk out with a 4-pack of tickets to go see Casey Donahue. And it will be live right here, November 8th, next Friday. God, it's November already. November 8th, next Friday, Clint. As you say, they bring out the big ones. That's a good show to come in at this kind of intimate setting where they have good concerts here. So that will be coming up in this hour. In fact, somebody will be a winner as soon as this segment ends. So if you are in the building or you're on the way, all you got to do is sign your name, put it in our raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win right there on the desk. And you'll have a chance to win coming up in this hour and the rest of the way. By the way, also, you'll also have a chance to win a VIP table to see Casey Donahue, and not only a VIP table, but also a $100 gift card to hear Home Run Dugout that you don't want to have a chance to miss out on. So come on out, have a good time here as we are, and as Clint told you earlier, don't forget, make a stop at and make sure you enter yourself in the ultimate football tailgate with the great fine people at Academy Sports and Outdoors. All you got to do is hit that QR code that's right there as soon as you walk in the building, and as Clint said earlier, it's a prize pack that you don't want to miss out on.
Yeah, man, that's $1,000 and two tickets to the old suite at NRG Stadium for Baltimore Houston, baby. That's a big time deal, man. That could get a little pricey. Not that you have the ability to get there anyway, but that could get a little pricey if you could buy that.
Yep, the team that ended the season last year, you got a chance to get tickets to those games in the suite with us. And I know you don't want to miss out on that. By the way, you can just come out and hang out with us right now here in Katy, so make your way out here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. All right, Clint. I know, and I've already seen it, and we've seen it up and down the text line. I'm sure you heard it last night on the post game show on Twitter and everything. Bobby Slowick and the offensive line are the culprits for most of the blame that's getting thrown around here, and I want to make it very, very clear: they absolutely deserve it. My man, Bobby is he's out here like he's at a great restaurant, closing his eyes and just throwing darts at the menu, baby. Let me just I don't even know if there's a plan, man. My man said second down and 7, baby. Hell, man, let's go halfback pass to the quarterback. Why not,
Bobby,
baby?
That's exactly what we like, don't want.
Bobby's out here just throwing darts at it, man. He said let's do something. And now the offensive line also just clearly stunk. 8 sacks. That's not at all what you're looking for. But, Clint, I don't want the blame to skip where it starts to me, and that's at the source. And to me, right now, as we're 8 weeks in, and we see this thing to me falls at the feet of D'Amico and Nick Caserio, and I think it starts far more before we even arrived here. Some people called us haters. Some people called us certain things when we had the audacity in the offseason leading into this year, Clint, to say, well, they just kind of gave this thing to Kenyon Green. No competition. Kendrick Green is not competition. They just gave this thing, Juice Scruggs. They just said, hey, man, we're in an all-year season with C.J. Stroud, and we're going to go rookie center, basically rookie center, who didn't play there at all last year, and a guy that was injured last year that it felt like a part of it was, hey, man, find your football self, too. Change your body. Change your body. And they went there with no competition. Those guys had the jobs given to them. Kamari Lassiter, no competition. Gave him the gig. Hey, Jalen Petrie, we're going to have you cover. You're going to be a slot cover. We'll do that. When you look at a lot of the decisions, look at a lot of the draft and all that, as that's coming up, as you see some of the issues, to me, I think it starts at the top with those guys, because the Texans in an all-in year went and got, we called a luxury almost, in Stephon Diggs, instead of addressing what the number one issue was with last year's team, which was the offensive line. There was nothing new that they addressed there. Not to mention they gave more money to Tunsil 2 years ago. They gave more money to Titus Howard a couple of years ago. They gave more money to Shaq Mason. Like, a lot of this starts.
Hit the money sign again?
Up at the very top with the decisions they made to put the Texans in this situation in an all-in season. The stuff that they went out and grabbed in an all-in season and didn't really look at or address, or at least what they had evaluated, was we are good up front. We are good up front. Second corner, man, get that, man. We are good with Petrie in the slot. We're good with Kamari Lash. We are good, and didn't even have competition for those guys. So to me, before we get to that stuff, and those guys deserve blame. Bobby Slowick has gotten worse and worse. It just looks lost.
They do not deserve brain.
Did I say brain?
For
no.
The record, they don't deserve that.
No,
this week.
They not deserve. This week. Not sorry, this week. They deserve brain too. Yes, they do. Everybody deserves a little brain.
No matter what the record.
But they
is.
Deserve. No, yeah, man. Bobby Dempster needs it. They deserve. Maybe that might help him.
Maybe that's the problem,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man, maybe they need to get a little nasty. I'm sorry, guys. It's Friday. I've had a margarita.
That killed me.
Yeah, a little brain there, guys. But they deserve their blame and brain. But it starts right there, because this is what Slowick was given. Like, how could they say all in year C.J. Stroud, our quarterback, man? Kenyon Green, no comp. You good. You're good. They didn't have any evidence of him being able to play on the field.
Yeah. There's no doubt it's been a rough week for Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, because we know they're in the personnel game together.
Yep.
And to your point, it starts up front. I mean, it's not been good. And the fact that you don't have anybody to turn to when either injuries hit or obviously poor play consistently over a month's plus span, you don't have anybody to turn to that you trust. And, you know, look, I mean, people will talk about Patterson. Well, Patterson went in there and just unfortunately got hurt. Patterson's a center. Patterson's
a
not
sixth a sixth-round center.
Yeah, he's not a backup guard. That was a Band-Aid for the moment, and it worked for one drive. Everybody relax. Like, that's not the answer. That was never going to last. And so, yeah, that's one thing with this football team. It happened really fast for D'Amico Ryans from a rebuild perspective. And the depth is absolutely an issue for this football team. And so when you see a guy get injured, or you see a guy that's not playing well, in this case, talking about the offensive line, there's multiple guys not playing well, there's going to be a lack of answers to that, right? The question now for me is, because beyond the guys that were unproven, that were handed jobs, you've got guys that you've highly paid that aren't playing well, which is, again, Titus Howard, Titus Howard, Laramie Tunsil,
Shaq Mason,
Dalton Schultz. I mean, you've got a good few people that just aren't quite.
Forgot about Dalton.
Ain't quite getting it done. To me, look, you make mistakes. You miss on guys, whether it's draft pick or second contracts. But how do you respond? And there's two responses here. Like, to me, this is the time for D'Amico Ryans to put his foot down. And I'm not talking about put your foot down on Kenyon Green. That does absolutely nothing. And I'm not talking about putting your foot down on Kendrick Green. That ain't going to do nothing for nobody. There's got to be some accountability for the entire offensive line. And it starts with the highest paid guy on the football team. That's the left tackle. And I'm not even talking about accountability of let's practice throughout the week. I'm just talking accountability of have a little bit of pride. This is your unit. There's a lot of money and draft picks that are invested. And last year you couldn't run the ball. And now you're the worst pass protecting team damn near in the league. Like, have a little bit of pride and let's get this thing right, and let's get beyond. Are you going to practice on Wednesday? And let you start holding some guys accountable and setting the standard and playing up to your ceiling or above your ceiling, and let's move the needle for this entire crowd. Right? That to me, that's where it starts. And I'm not singling out Laramie Tunsil for any other reason other than that guy's the most powerful guy in that room. And if you want to really move the needle and improve play and change the habits of these guys, it's got to start with him. You can't. Kenyon Green gets benched, and Kenyon Green's going to be held accountable. That's in no way, shape, or form going to impact Titus Howard, Laramie Tunsil, Shaq Mason, hell, Juice Scruggs. They don't care. And you're like, that's not the answer. So D'Amico Ryans has got to start putting his foot down and holding some dudes accountable on the offensive side of the football, and stop cherry picking the guys that you know is not going to give you really any pushback whatsoever. That, to me, that's where this thing starts and has to. And by the way, look, again, I'm not Bobby Slowick. To me, is a good OC. Bobby Slowick's had a rough stretch here, but Bobby Slowick's a good OC. But I can say that and also acknowledge the shortcomings and the struggles.
Yeah, he deserves. At the same time. He deserves. Brain.
Well, D'Amico Ryans needs to put his foot on Bobby Slowick's too. I mean, at the end of the day, like, hey, Bobby, man, the lack of adjustments, and I'm not even talking about at halftime. I'm just talking about in a season where we've seen three games of 45-plus, 50-plus, 50-plus pass rush win rate, like win rate, whatever, the pressure rate on C.J. Stroud. Like, there should be blatantly obvious adjustments. And again, I'm not saying they're going to work, but C.J. Stroud should – how many times last night, just last night, Aaron Rodgers is up there. Say what you want about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he knows the game, and he has the ability to play the position at a high level. Right, he understands not to stand back there and get his head knocked off when his two tackles are struggling, right? He understands that. How many times do you see Aaron Rodgers catch the football and anchor his feet and flip the ball somewhere? At least 7-8 times, right? We threw one screen. We continue to drop our quarterback back and have him shuffle up in the pocket and maneuver this way and maneuver that.
The most of an adjustment was play action rollouts.
Yeah, but
that was the most of adjustment to get him away from pressure.
Well, there's just the point is, Ron, is that at this point in time, we should see it all. He should be emptying the clip.
Yeah.
The point moving forward offensively is we've got to do everything that we can to overcome our quarterback getting pressured more than anybody in the league. Like, we've got to – how do you do that? You're already running the football well, so you've already got – the hardest part you've got figured out.
Until they got in the second half and the Jets just took that from you.
And guess what? That's what teams are going to do. As good as Joe Mixon is, that's what teams are going to do.
He had 15 yards in the second half.
Yeah, exactly. So, and how do they do that? Now, I haven't watched the All-22 yet, but I'm willing to bet you that they loaded up the box.
Yep.
And they put an extra hat in there that you couldn't block. So, guess what? The screen game should be – in the screen game now should hit a crease and hit your head on a goalpost. The screen game now is not a 3rd and 21 call, right? It's a get the ball out of my quarterback's hands. I don't want to get him killed. I'm not going to run the football into an extra helmet over here. So I'm going to get the football in the open field to Tank Dell, and I'm going to let him, even John Metchie, give him a quick easy catch. Let's see if he can go make a play. Xavier Hutchins, a big bodied ass, get him out there and block. Dalton Schultz. I mean, there's a screen game. There's a tight end screen game. That's one of the sexier screen games in all of football is when you got a team that's got a really good tight end screen game that he's pass protecting. He can fold underneath and catch a middle screen. He can bounce outside and catch a wide screen. Like we don't see any of that. And to me, those are all football 101 when you're talking about like doing everything you can to not let your quarterback get killed. right? If I'm running the football well, and now I'm countering that sucker with these screens out wide, I'm going to force you to defend sideline to sideline. I'm going to stretch you out wider. Now you got your eyes in the backfield, worried about the run, worried about the quick screen. Boom, now I'm going to hit you over the top with somebody. Like, it just, there's not even the lack of, again, and again, I don't care if it doesn't work. I'm not saying it needs to be a home run.
You said empty the clip.
Just the fact that we threw one screen last night in a game where your quarterback was pressured over 50% of the time is a fireable offense. Like, D'Amico Ryan should call Bobby into his office and say, "Hey man, as a defensive coordinator, I just saw a 49-year-old throw 42 quicks,
41 technically, but I hear you,
and ended up beating me. How in the hell did I not see that on the offensive side of the football, given that my quarterback's getting heated up?"
I hear you. And no, I hear you, and I just wanted also to be on the record to think that Nick Caserio.
I'm sorry, I went to D'Amico.
No.
We were talking about D'Amico and Nick, and I went to.
But I think they all get the deserve their fair share of, let's get it right, Ron, blame.
Yes.
And as you said, it's a fireable offense. Not saying you're going to fire Bobby, but it's a fireable. It's an offense where you're like, "Hey man, we got to sit down and talk in the offense." I think it's also a sit down. If I'm the McNairs, like, "Hey, how do we sit here and evaluate with the absolute crown jewel in the history potentially of our franchise, of CJ Stroud, we're in an all-in year, and we sat here and we thought Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, Shaq Mason, Titus Howard, Laremy Tunsil, that's exactly what they need."
Yeah.
Like, how we sit here and just said, "That's it. We don't even need any. That's it."
Real quick, Ron, like to that, and that's where I got off in the weeds there for a minute. Sorry about that. That's where I was going with that, though, was like, I'm okay with you missing. I understand the method to the madness. Like, you can't go out and fill every void on this roster. And I think overall they did a decent job, right? But right now, you've got to right those wrongs, right? The trade deadline is Tuesday, right? Like I mean, there's a need for another cover defender. At any level, whether it's a second or third cover defender, doesn't matter. Hell, I don't even care if it's a guy that's better than Stingley. Go, if you got to make that aggressive move, go make that aggressive move. That guy's available.
You completed the ball to three people yesterday. There's a need for a receiver.
Sure. Not knowing Nico Collins, sure, I'll take it. There's a guard need. There's probably actually a center need. I mean, if you're looking at really the offense as a whole, there were some shortcomings on this roster, especially from a depth perspective. Now they've reared their ugly head, and it's costing you a good start, 6-2 start to a season, and there's not an end in sight unless you make some improvements. Part of that, from the guys you're talking about, Nick and D'Amico, is, okay, I've got to go out and get a couple of guys to fill these voids so that we can do our part from a personnel perspective to fix things.
Yeah, Juice, I get. Kenyon Green, there was nothing that he did that said, "Give him a job." Nothing that he did said, "Give him a job," with C.J. Stroud behind him. Coming up, our Man Eye Institute player of the game. All right? Even though this was a rough, rough game, there were still some positive players last night. We'll give you our players of the game. That's coming up next, right here live on The Drive.
Sharpeville happened to me.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Home Run Dugout in Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, congratulations to Rob, our first winner. I'm going to put him out there. I don't know if Rob's supposed to be out here or not at this time. I know it is early, but it's a Friday. Go ahead and get you another drink, Rob. Congratulations, Rob's our first winner. We will do another drawing coming up here as soon as this segment ends. Remember, if you come on out to Home Run Dugout here in Katy, as it is Football Friday, Home Run Dugout here in Katy, presented by Pepsi, you have a chance to win. We'll be hooking somebody up with a 4-pack of tickets to come to the concert right here coming up next Friday, as Casey Donahue, Texas country singer, will be here and do a show here next week. You'll have a chance to win a 4-pack of those tickets. If you're in the building, all you got to do is sign your name, put it in our raffle box, and wait for your chance to have a winner. There you go, man. It's a good time out here. Great food, great drinks. And listen, it was a rough one last night, all right? And Tyler, I know you're ready to let it go, but you can still find a positive player. Now we have to do it. Now it's got or a member of the team. Okay, I believe one time I gave it to an assistant coach.
I was going to go Devontae Adams. I can't do
Tyler,
that.
You can't not Tyler. No, no, you're not your Man I Institute player of the game.
I mean, players of the games are usually winners and don't get their ass handed to them.
It is not going to be Devontae Adams. Okay, it is not. Now, damn it, think again. All right. You got a little time. Think about it. All right.
He legitimately typed that in the rundown.
He did. He did.
And I was in the middle of putting his stat line in. I was going to Devontae.
And I'm erasing it. I'm erasing it right now. You're not.
This is going to be a lot tougher than I thought.
You can. And I mean, at least can we give Garrett Wilson a little credit here? I feel like he should probably go in.
Hey, that'll work. Can I go, Garrett?
No, God, right. But man, I bet Adidas is pissed now that catch he made. Jordan, that looked just like Jordan, but this is we do it every time after a Texans game. Our players of the game, our Man I Institute player of the game. I'll start with mine. Earlier this week when we did stock up, stock down, every Wednesday we do that, I said my stock down is for Denico Autry. He had been back for two games, and no other way to put it, Denico Autry had not made or recorded a statistic in his two games. Not a tackle, not a sack, not a trip, nothing. He had not done any. There was nothing in his stat line. Zeros all the way across. Where yesterday, Denico Autry, with Will Anderson's kind of injury, which had him in and out. I'd like to hear a little bit more on what's going on with Will Anderson, by the way, today. But his going back and forth, Denico Autry played a lot of defensive end yesterday. And, Clint, he had two sacks and three tackles. So he filled the stat sheet, and he was really, really good. The two sacks that the Texans got last night, he got them both, three tackles. So I give credit to Denico Autry. That was what they envisioned, that third pass rusher that could come from anywhere on the field, inside or outside. So I give it to him. I called him out. I had him stocked down. And Denico Autry, congratulations to him. Great game for him, in which was a tough effort for the Texans as a whole.
I like it. I like it, Ron. That was, for me, there's two silver linings in this game. And on the defensive side of the football is Denico Autry. Moving forward, I'm talking about moving forward silver linings, like that we didn't already know about this football team in 2024. And, you know, when you add Denico Autry, a guy that's able from the interior to go out there and get you two sacks in a ball game, especially as a big game as what was last night, when you, again, you mentioned Will Anderson, the injury, and you know, needing that him to step up and play big and create those pressures was a monster. And so moving forward, the fact that that's the caliber player you know you have right now, and Denico Autry is big. I think for me, my Man I Institute player of the game is Tank Dell. And for the very same reasons, just on the offensive side of the football.
Damn, Tyler.
It was not enough, right, to get the Texans the points that they needed. But you can look at this thing now and say that the Steph Diggs injury doesn't hurt as bad because you get Nico Collins back, and now you got Tank Dell, a guy that can go for $120, whatever the hell it was, you know, and potentially could have went for more, but he was missed a couple of times. Like, That's big for this team, because we were eight games in and we hadn't seen the same Tank Dell, nowhere near the same Tank Dell that we'd seen last year for 11 ball games. And so now, knowing that we've got Denico Autry in that pass rush that you can add to Will and Daniil when everybody's healthy, that's a step in the right direction. That's a big time add. And you know you got Tank Dell not only to add to the wide receiver room, that a guy that can go give you $120, but a guy that in the absence of Stephon Diggs can fill that number two role when Nico Collins comes back. So two silver linings. Doesn't really make me feel a whole lot better about what I watched yesterday, but moving forward, that is a little bit of a confidence boost on both sides of the football that those two guys can perform the way that they did. Yeah. You knew they had it previous to 2024, but did those two guys have it this season? And now we know they do.
Listen, I'm glad you brought Tank Dell up, because he's another one. I called him out yesterday. You know, I said yesterday, I said, hey, like, what Tank Dell are we getting? Are we getting the Tank Dell who last year you were like, hey, man, I don't know, who is it? Is him or Nico the number one receiver? Are you getting a guy this year who went 0-for in a game against the Packers and dropped a touchdown pass? Or the guy that hadn't that I heard yesterday described as a nice player from a national person, a nice player, but not real dynamic and not somebody that you can have as a lead receiver. And he came out and was big. And to be honest, he was well over 100 yards, Clint, and there were other opportunities for him to get more. Yeah. He was open, and CJ missed him a couple of times, or CJ didn't have enough time to go in and get the ball to him. So big response from Tank Dell last night as he played his tail off. All right, Tyler, quickly, you've had some time. Who's your Man I Institute player of the game?
I've been thinking real hard. I didn't see, and tell me if I'm wrong, I don't remember seeing any Texans like down for an injury timeout with any kind of like cramps or anything last
Jalen
night.
Jalen Petrie went down with one.
Was that a cramp? Yeah,
I wonder. Damn it. Yeah. I was going to do the water crew for the Texans.
That's all right, but the water crew did do a great job.
They did.
In that stadium, they still do. So, Tyler,
You could have went with Joe Mixon. He gave you a buck again.
I don't give these kind of awards. Ward's a loser, so I'm going with the water crew. They weren't playing in the game, and they sure as hell kept our guys hydrated. So good job out there, fellas. Way to keep that high quality H2O going, guys and ladies of the Texans water crew. Appreciate you.
Tyler's in a bad place, folks. I feel like we just at some point need to let Tyler get. Tyler's probably got 3.5 minutes he needs to get off his chest.
Oh, I can cut a WWE promo on the Texans right now for you.
We might have to hand it over to Tyler as those are. Shout out to the water boys and ladies out there who do great work throughout the year in Houston, keeping everybody hydrated. And last night,
the H2O.
And MetLife. Those are our Man Eye Institute players of the game. Man Eye Institute, see life better. Coming up as we continue here live. Here at Home Run Dugout here in Katy. We may hand this off to Tyler and let him express himself a bit. But, Clint, we've done a lot of talking about the offense and how things went. But, Clint, we can't let this defense off the hook. We can't let this
Not
defense
today.
Off the hook. No.
No free passes today unless you win in the raffle.
The score with the help of the Jets was 7-0 entering the half, and somehow they ended up with 21 points in the game, all in the second half. So we'll have to look at that. That's all coming up next right here live.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, no! We suck again!
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Home Run Dugout in Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in Home Run Dugout. Here in Katy is your site for Football Friday. Here, as we get out every single Friday, and we're trying to make sense of this L last night, Clint. That the Texans took from the New York Jets. The Texans dropped to 6-3 after that loss last night, and a lot of it is going to the offense, Clint, because it's been an ongoing problem. And because not only has it been an ongoing problem, but the Texans have, and C.J. Stroud has paid for the issues they have across the offensive line and some of the injuries, Clint. And that's where a lot of it is going. But I think, Clint, it is hard for me to let this defense off the hook. And I just saw somebody text in on the 5-hour energy text line. I just saw somebody text in that said the defense absolutely gets a pass. They are the only unit that plays in any of the games. You can't ask the defense to play the whole game the way they have.
Mindset.
They've won six of the games. And to me, Clint, you know, I'm not going to let them off the hook. I said earlier this week that, yeah, I don't feel like this is a defense that is good enough to carry a team that's just, hey, man, we're going to go run first. Right? Like, I said that earlier in the week. I don't know that this defense is a defense that, would you say the Ravens or the Seahawks or whatever, even the Chiefs from last year, even Baltimore from last year, I'm not sure that they are in that space to just carry a team. And listen, you know, it's not as obvious as the offensive line because they haven't had to pay for it very much. But, Clint, I would argue they've got some things that have been coming. They have some things that we've been seeing that they have been able to get away with, like down the field stuff. And in this game, they did not. And I just they didn't score. They really gave up 28 points, if we're being honest with you. That touchdown didn't count because of himself. All right, he was clearly in and untouched into the end zone, and he just stupidly dropped the ball before he entered the end zone. But Clint, they didn't have any points at the half, and they gave up 21 points without a turnover. The Jets got 21 points in the second half on three drives. And to me, man, that, like, if you want your defense to be good enough, they've got to be able to hold the Jets from scoring 21 points in the second half in a game that you ultimately lose. So I can't let the defense off the hook because the problems they have reared its head in this game.
Well, look, we don't have to minimize what they've done up for eight games to be just realistic about what we saw in week nine. I mean, the reality of it is they have been tremendous for 8 weeks. And you know, I can even look at, you and I've talked about it multiple times. Boy, these receivers are getting behind these guys, but the quarterbacks aren't good enough to get it there.
Yeah.
We can also say, you know, the pressure, because this is what D'Amico would tell you, is that our scheme is, yeah, we're going to sit underneath, we're not going to allow easy underneath throws. We're going to force the receivers and the quarterbacks to take the time to get behind us and then be able to make those throws under duress, under pressure, right? And the pressure is getting there. And so I, like, that's what's gone on, you know, early in the season or through eight games. The truth of the matter is that pressure has ultimately masked the real shortcomings that we have in the secondary from a coverage perspective. I mean, yesterday, I don't know what the hell was going on with Aaron Rodgers. He threw the damn quick fade against to Davante Adams 5 yards out of bounds on the first play.
Yeah, they had, like,
He was beat. I mean, Stingley was beat. Mike Williams got Stingley, and he overthrew it. Davante Adams got, I believe, Stingley again, and he dropped it.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
all in the first half.
The pass rush has masked the true issues that you have in this secondary. They went after Jalen Petrie all day long and torched his ass multiple times. I mean,
They went after, finally, we saw somebody go after Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah.
I mean, on fourth down, I mean, Davante Adams, he ends up on the ground.
So the point there to be made is, like, okay, yes, you've got a pressure defense. And when your pressure defense gets there, your corners look better than what they're really playing like. Which, cool, that's fine. You got away with it for eight games. The problem is when you lock these guys up in man and you show God and everybody 20 seconds, with 20 seconds left on the play clock, at some point in time that pressure's gonna get picked up, and or the quarterback's gonna be able to stand in there and throw a dime while he's getting hit in the face. Aaron Rodgers did that last night. The little throw that he made where Jalen Petrie tried to undercut it and Wilson caught it and took it for a touchdown, great one-handed catch, sure. But that was a result of, you showed me man right here. Jalen Petrie's got Garrett Wilson. I know where I'm going the whole time. I'm going to hold the football as long as I can. I'm going to deliver it late, and I'm going to take this hit in the face. He got sandwiched by three dudes. He was under, like, ridiculous pressure. But he made a throw that Garrett Wilson made a play on for a touchdown where, again, they targeted Jalen Petrie. At some point in time, the better these quarterbacks get, the better they're going to be able to handle that pressure and make more of those throws. And when that happens, you better have better cover defenders on the back end. And right now, if we're being completely honest, Derek Stingley Jr. is not playing at or above his ceiling. Kamari Lassiter is still a bit of an unknown. I don't necessarily want to shoot at him. We just don't know how good he actually is or isn't right now. And the truth of the matter is Jalen Petrie's a safety. And you're putting him in man-to-man situations versus Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson and with a 40-year-old first ballot Hall of Famer throwing the rock to him. Clint. Like that is setting a young fella up to fail.
I like Matt Burke, D'Amico, that was ridiculous. That was utterly the play you're talking about, which ended up being the dagger. That
you're talking
ridiculous.
To Devontae Adams fade over the top.
Yes,
versus,
yeah. that's ridiculous, Clint. As bad as the Bobby Slowick second down and seven, we're going to go halfback pass with our quarterback one on one with a corner.
Yeah.
As bad as that was, what D'Amico and Matt Burke allowed happen to Jalen Petrie. That was the worst thing to happen all night from a coach's perspective. That was the worst thing to happen all night. At least my man is saying, hey, man, maybe we'll catch him slipping here. We'll try something here, and we haven't had a lot of success.
Yeah,
I thought it was a silly play call. But there's no way that you can watch that and see Devontae Adams, third and three. The game's on the line. Here it is. We got to get a stop. We're going to have to start using timeouts. Third and three. Petrie's bump and run coverage in the slot. With no real help, or at least Kellen Bullock, I don't know what you weren't looking at, because I would have gotten my ass right over there the entire way, whatever, behind Petrie. But that's not what he was coached to do or whatever. But there, as soon as I see that matchup, I mean, I'm using one of my timeouts to avoid that to happen, because we got to figure something. Like, that can't be it.
Well,
and then when Aaron walked out there and looked at Mike Williams and told Mike Williams, basically, now that we know, he told Mike Williams, hey, man, just stand at the line so I can have all of that side of the field. And I mean, Jalen Petrie, and I love the kid. He's one of my favorite players. He did not have a chance, and everybody knew it. Devontae Adams just made Kamari Lassiter fall on the ground off one step on the last fourth down to get wide open.
What?
And now you're going to have Jalen Petrie, who you just said is a safety with the game on the line. How can you let that happen? That's the worst coaching decision all night.
Well, I can tell you from a quarterback's perspective, like, there's nothing easier. I mean, you as a defensive coordinator, you are simplifying the game and making it, I mean, literally simplifying it as much as there is possible when you line up a safety and Jalen Petrie on Devontae Adams in that situation. And you press Derek Stingley on the outside versus Mike Williams. And you shade your safety to the middle of the field. And you know, because right now, here's the way that works, right, is I, as a quarterback, I got to see three things. I got to see, does the safety play over the top? I got to see, does my slot receiver win immediately at the line of scrimmage? And I've got to see if that outside corner bails to take away that fade. I got to see all that at one time. When you press Derek Stingley outside and he's staring at the eyeballs of Mike Williams, I know he's not bailing. When you press Jalen Petrie on Devontae Adams, I'm going to get a picture within the first second of whether he wins right now off of the line of scrimmage. When you put your safety in the middle of the field, I know right now all I got to do is hold him for a second, and I have there's no defense over the top. Like, you made that as easy a read as there is in the game of football.
And I don't blame Jalen Petrie at all on that.
Oh, like, I don't
he's
either.
He's given everything he has. I mean,
You remember when I told you that time when I fumbled a snap and picked it up against Denver and ran that long touchdown and my ass blew up about
the
10-yard line?
I was going to say, Clint, let's not
go. No, I wasn't
right
going
now.
There. I'm talking about when I'm running down the sideline I just got out over my skis and I about fell down, but I ended up scoring. Like, that's what Jalen Petrie looked like chasing Devontae Adams.
He caught the ball.
He looked like me stumbling and bumbling.
He caught the ball and raised it at like the 10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no,
like,
yeah.
It was just, yeah. I was just like.
Tough watch, man.
I mean, he's bumping run, no help.
Tough watch.
Just good God. Yeah, they can't let that happen. That cannot happen to him. All right, what you got coming up at the four?
Well, we just discussed about the defense right there, right? And the gist of that is that the defensive pressure has really masked the shortcomings of our coverage defenders, and I think that became a problem last night. It became evident last night, right? On the offensive side of the football, we know that the inability to pass protect is a major problem. More bad news. I'm going to explain to you and break this thing down of why it's a much bigger problem than just not being able to pass protect. Very difficult to fix, folks. We'll cuss and discuss next.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.